Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We all know that owning a small business means you wear many hats, but sometimes you really need an extra pair of hands. Upwork is how good companies find great and trusted freelance talent. With more than 2 decades of experience, with the simple and ambitious goal of pioneering a better way of working, companies at every stage turn to Upwork to get things done and find more flexibility in staffing key projects and initiatives. They access a global marketplace filled with top talent in IT, web dev, marketing, and more. Posting a job on Upwork is easy. With no cost to join, you can register, browse freelancer profiles, and get help drafting a job post or even book a consultation. From there, you connect with freelancers that get you and can easily hire them and take your business to the next level. Visit Upwork.com right now and post your job for free. That's Upwork.com to post your job for free and connect with top talent ready to help your business grow. That's UPWORK.com. Upwork.com.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
What happened to Sandra Birchmore wasn't just grooming. It was a systematic breakdown masquerading as mentorship. A 23-year-old pregnant woman found dead in her apartment, ruled a suicide by local authorities, only to later be the center of a federal murder case that exposed far more than just one predator. And how did this get ruled a suicide? Because when you understand what they found at that scene and when you put it all together, you go, wait a second here. Somebody wants this to be a suicide, but this certainly does not look like a suicide. But hey, let's say it's a suicide and be done with it, right? Yeah. They got double bubble going on down at the whatever. Let's get there. All right, suicide, it is. Da-da-da. You hope that's what happened, and it wasn't more like, this is who Farwell was dating, right? Yeah. This isn't going to look good if it's not a suicide. Yeah, maybe. Yeah, he did me a favor. Let's keep him, yeah. It's fucked up. You shouldn't be with that chick or some bullshit. It's a suicide. It's the complicity. That sort of shit. This took a system to make happen. It wasn't just the one guy. This was a system, an ecosystem that supported this kind of behavior. Sandra had entered the Stoughton Police Explorer program as a teenager, likely hoping for structure, purpose, and safety, because she wasn't coming from the best of that. Also put her as one of those kids that, you know, is really going to respond to attention. And maybe a little more vulnerable. Maybe a little less worldly. Maybe easily swayable to whatever the hell you're going to put in front of them. Hopefully it's something good in life that you're teaching them about. Not something you're unzipping in front of them. And pretending that you're a teacher. And this is just all normal stuff. Matthew Farwell. She was met with exploitation disguised as opportunity, allegedly by multiple officers, most notably Matthew Farwell, now federally indicted for her murder. What Robin Drake helps us understand in this conversation is that this wasn't just about one man. It was about the conditions that allowed it to happen, how departments interact with their youth membership programs and deprioritize them. How predators can test boundaries through secrecy and isolation, and how fear and groupthink allow institutions to protect themselves at the cost of the victims. This interview goes deeper than the headlines. Robin brings his expertise as a retired FBI special agent and former head of the Bureau's Behavioral Analysis Program to break down the psychological dynamics behind why no one spoke up, why Sandra stayed emotionally attached to her abuser, and how predators gain power through silence and leverage, not just coercion. Maybe most importantly, we talk about the role of loving critics, those emotionally detached observers with a system who are willing to call out unethical behavior before it metastasizes into tragedy. Because in Sandra's case, that kind of oversight never came. And what started with a wink or a text message ended in death, deception, and a trail of resignations. So I asked Robin, how does a predator build power inside a system designed for protection? What does it take to stop them before it's too late?
Yeah, man, Tony, this is one of those cases, kind of like Matty Soto, where you kind of sit here and you listen to the facts and data and you just want to cry. Mm-hmm. And this little girl was so abused and so groomed, it was sickening. From her point of view, you know, I researched this again before we got into this. I really wanted to do a deeper dive on this. You know, people will gravitate towards law enforcement and great programs like this because they are looking for doing things of consequence, being a service to others. I mean, Grant, it's funny. I've done a lot of psychological fun testings, whether it's the five-factor model, the DISC, or the Myers-Briggs, or all these things for law enforcement and military in general. And people would think that law enforcement and military have these high dominant personalities, very controlling and just like this. Believe it or not, most people that go into law enforcement very much like people when they go into nursing or being doctors or service, they're very, very service compassionate individuals that want to be of service to others. And so it can be a very gravitating energy sump for people that want to do that, be of service to others, which I think it made it easy for her to want to become part of the Explorer program, which is, again, a great program that helps people get established. It helps people, you know, see a future ahead and also feel safe, like we said, because people also gravitate towards law enforcement and jobs like this because there's structure, there's organization, there's people that are wearing uniforms, there's codes of conduct, there's ethics, there's morals. And so if you're coming from a background of feeling insecure, unsafe, you're insecure about yourself and you're not being validated properly by the friends and family in your life, or you don't have any, this will offer that structure that helps people feel that way. And then the critical thing goes sideways when a department does not select their good people to run those programs. You know, what being from the background of both military and law enforcement, or you're always undermanned, you're always understaffed, you don't have enough resources, and you have all these demands pressed upon you for operational type things, you typically take your best people and you place them in ops, operations, you know, out there, investigators, street cops, sergeants, lieutenants that are doing the high risk operations that are protecting the public safety. And so what happens sometimes is they'll take someone with not the same kind of morals, ethics, and credibility, maybe, or someone's been shoved aside or someone that's not appropriate for a job like this, and they'll put them in a job like this. So not prioritizing this type of program, which is the future of the department, the future of keeping public safety at the level it should be, and they're placing them in these positions, which is exactly what I think happened here, is you take someone with a shady, horrible internal structure, and you place them in charge of youth. And it's a recipe for this.
Yeah, I mean, what a crazy recipe it is. Why do you think it is that no one said anything? Do you think no one noticed anything when they were together when she was younger? I mean, allegedly the sexual encounters started when she was 15. They met at 13. Are people looking the other way? Were other officers looking the other way? We're talking, you know, she was a kid, so she's telling her friends and stuff about this. Two very different perspectives, I would imagine, from two very different groups of people, other 15-year-olds. I mean, I remember being 15, and I remember some of the girls that back then talking about their boyfriends that were in their 20s, and they kind of had it normalized in their mind, even at that age in the 90s. A lot of us were like, that's weird, but nobody would say anything. It was just like, oh, well, it's what you do. I mean, I can certainly give a pass to other 15-year-olds. They're 15. They're young and dumb. Everyone is at that age. But the other adults, how, why? I mean, what, why would you not say something unless you had some sort of intention of, well, maybe there's room for me in this relationship too. And the sick part is it really feels like that's what the thought process was from some of these people.
I think there's going to be multiples here. There's a fear factor, like I mentioned earlier, fear of saying something where it's going to jeopardize your prosperity, your job, your standing with the community and your family and all those things. So there's a fear factor in there because the person that is actually doing these actions has that lever of fear over you for some reason, somehow. And so that's one thing. Not wanting to change things. Human beings do not like change. And so we will rationalize behaviors that we're observing and seeing to not tip the apple cart, to not change things. So that's also part of it. And then the normalization of the behavior, if you came in, you're new to department, he's been in charge of this program for a long time, you kind of see a few things that are off and you mention it to someone else, oh no, it's okay, he's been doing this way the entire time. So it's rationalized behavior from a groupthink mentality. And so it's been socialized norm that way. And then you have the victim themselves that are saying they like the attention or they seem to be acting fine. Because what happens is if you see inappropriate behavior and you're new to department or you're afraid to speak out, the next thing you're going to do is not just on the perpetrator of the horrendous action, you're going to look at the victim. How's the victim acting? Is she smiling? Is she happy? Are things seeming copacetic? Are people around her seeing that? So you're going to, because what are you looking for? You're looking for your own confirmation bias that everything's okay, so I don't have to tip the apple cart and make my life unsafe. And so all those factors come into play here.
Obviously, it was a staged suicide, allegedly, mm-hmm. That was what they found. These are, you know, somewhat seasoned investigators who went in and looked at it and still said, yep, it's a suicide, despite when you look at the actual evidence, it doesn't appear to be a suicide. Do you think the investigators are just incompetent, didn't like doing deep investigations, didn't want to dig a little bit deeper for fear of what they might find? Why do you think it took years and it took the FBI to get involved to look at everything and go, wait a second, why on earth would you guys think this was a suicide? That's got to be a weird moment when you're coming in from a federal level to the local level going, what the hell were you guys thinking? And I mean, that's I think red flags would go everywhere at that moment in time if you were overlooking that, wouldn't it?
For all the reasons we just said.
Yeah.
Affirmation bias. They want to prove what they want to believe, and yeah, there you go. And no one, and there was fear as well as the confidence that no one's going to question them. Because what did they lack? The same thing we've said numerous times on so many cases, no loving critic. You know, so the FBI comes in as a loving critic. Hey, we love our law enforcement brethren here. We want to support them. But the critic says, but this is off. Mm-hmm. You know, the other thing that this strikes me of, you know, when you talk about this blue wall of silence or this group tribe mentality. When I was in the Marine Corps, we had a saying that I hold very true, and that is mission first, people always. And when I came into the Bureau from the FBI, I mean, from the Marine Corps, that held true when working confidential human sources or even working with colleagues. You work so closely with individuals that they become your brothers and sisters, that you are joined in arms to do the righteous work out there. You support each other to all ends of the earth. I mean, I was in 9/11 in New York City, you know, doing that deep, deep work with a lot of these partners, both inside the Bureau, outside the Bureau. I mean, it was everyone in the world, my confident human sources. But at the end of the day, if they were acting morally and ethically wrong, I'd be the first to turn them in.
Mm-hmm.
Because you have this personal closeness, but a professional film that must be maintained. It was the first thing I was trained on with working with competent human sources in the FBI was this relationship. It was easy for me to understand because when I was in the Marine Corps, I was an officer and I worked with my staff NCOs, my enlisted. We were close. We were bonded. I couldn't do anything without them. They were the ones in charge of training me as a young officer. But at the same time, I was doing making the calls for everything because I was responsible for all these things. And I would do all I could to make sure they had a prosperous, successful career and they went home at the end of the day safely to their families. But if one of them went sideways, went bad, I'd be the first that had to hammer them. Mm-hmm. That was my responsibility as a leader because we maintain these morals and ethics. So we can do the most important thing. Have the public safety at the forefront of our minds. And we only do that when the public has trust and reliance on us as organizations, institutions. With one person blowing that, the reason we do what we do completely goes out the window. And so it's mission first, people always. Mm-hmm. And you have to be able to realize when you actually have to go at the people because it's compromising the mission. And you're going to go at them in a way that it's not a witch hunt. It's a, hey, we catch things early to prevent it from cascading down the line. There's been a few times in my own career where I was a gray line kind of guy. I'm an operations guy. I love doing righteous work. And there was rules and regulations we had to do inside the FBI. I knew exactly where that gray line was. And I loved to ride it to try to do the stuff that was so important, not for personal gain, but for, again, the righteous work to protect the country. And I remember I'd come up with some crazy ideas sometimes. And before I execute them, I'd share them with a friend or a colleague. And the first question my loving critic would always say to me, did you tell the supervisor this? I go, I said, then you're not supposed to do it. Because if you fear transparency of your actions, it's not a righteous action. And so from this point of view, the first thing a groomer will do that is testing the waters, they're going to try to have a secret communication, a covert communication with a potential victim. In this case, I guarantee you, with a high probability that when Farwell was starting to groom her, he started off by a glance, a smile, a wink, a nod, a text message maybe, a conversation away from everyone else where he gives her some sort of validation that's not known by everyone else. There's a lack of transparency. Mm-hmm. And he's testing, is she going to share that? And so now you do that once, and now when you're sitting in a classroom and you get together with all the other explorers, he's given a briefing of things, and all of a sudden, you know, they take a break. And who's he go to? Who's he got a little secret conversation with over the side? And so this is what builds over the time. It makes her feel special. Mm-hmm. The one thing that she wanted to do in life was feel special, part of something bigger than herself, part of a group and being accepted and valued for who she is. That's how these groomers do it. And so in that one first action, he either should have been called out by someone observant if they had what we call TPI, two-person integrity, with what you're doing, journaling and writing a logbook at the end of the day, all the contacts you had with all the students and what the results was, and then signed off by everyone, something. And most importantly, him. Is this the conversation I'd be willing to share with my colleagues, with my boss, with my supervisor who is emotionally detached, who's my objective loving critic? If that answer is no, then that's what you shouldn't be doing. That's why we need those loving critics at the lowest level before it even starts. And he didn't have it. No one there in that department had it. And it spirals out of this control.
A conversation with Robin Dreeke should leave all of us asking harder questions, not just about Sandra Birchmore's case, but about the systems that failed her and the silence that allowed her death to happen until the guise of order and professionalism just sat there. This is all normal. Here's how we do things. Robin's insight into how predators build power not through brute force, but through structure, secrecy, and emotional leverage is deeply unsettling. What we heard here was a breakdown of how Sandra, a vulnerable young woman looking for meaning and mentorship, was pulled into a long con where the illusion of safety was more dangerous than outright risk,
And what's just as damning is how many people likely saw something, a glance, a pattern, a conversation that felt just a little too, yeah. And still, they said nothing. Because as Robin explained, people crave safety, stability, and the illusion that if they don't rock the boat, it won't tip over. But in cases like Sandra's, that boat was already sinking, quietly, slowly, and publicly. The idea of the loving critic is something every institution should take to heart, not a whistleblower driven by ego, not an outsider trying to burn it all down, but someone inside, detached enough to see clearly and strongly enough to speak. If someone like that had existed within that department, Sandra might still be alive. And that's what this episode really challenges us to confront. That grooming doesn't just happen in the shadows, it happens in the daylight. It happens through mentorship, through silence, through the normalization of just a little bit of discomfort until it becomes full-blown abuse. It happens when no one says, "Are you willing to tell your supervisor about that conversation?" Because the answer too often is no. Thanks again to Robin Drake for cutting through the noise and laying it all out. What do you guys think? Tell me in the comments, what did you take away from all of that? What did you take away from the situation that Sandra was in? And how could that have all played out differently? I want to hear from you. On YouTube is where you can join in that conversation. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or whatever, hit subscribe there. Then also, please do check out our YouTube channel. Just search Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. You will find us there. There, you can watch us do the show. There's other exclusives that are on YouTube that are not on the podcast channel. And you can also, if you want to support the show, you can become a premium subscriber on YouTube. When you do that, you get access to all of our videos and reporting as we make it. So we schedule some things out, like days, sometimes weeks, depending if it's a, you know, like a retrospective type story or something like that. You get it all immediately. So the second it's there, boom, you get it. And we put out a lot of content if you haven't noticed that yet. So you get that in advance of everybody else. And that also means you can comment and get your voice on it at the top of that list before anybody else as well. So if you want to be heard first, that's a way to do it. On our YouTube channel, become a premium subscriber there and join us. We'd really appreciate that. There's other extras we're going to have, exclusive, you know, one-on-one, smaller chats, things of that nature. So we'll keep growing that as time goes on. So please do check that out and help us keep our program on the air here. Thank you very much for that. I want to hear your voice. Until next time, I am Tony Bruschi, and we will talk again real soon.
If true crime is your obsession, we've got you covered. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today for nonstop coverage, expert insights, and in-depth analysis.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
With new McValue at McDonald's, you get more than you expect. So after a long day, buy a double cheeseburger and add a McChicken for a dollar. Because saving with deals is always on the menu. With new McValue.
Prices and participation may vary. Valid for item of equal or lesser value.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
In the news this week, the Have I Got News For You podcast is back for another series.
Brought to you by some of the team behind the show, we'll take you through the big stories of the week when the TV show can't.
From Kemi Badenoch to Keir Starmer, Donald Trump to Nigel Farage, we'll make sure to give every story and subject the complete lack of respect it deserves.
We also cover all the sillier stories you've missed that don't make the front page and put your news knowledge to the test with our missing words round.
Listen and subscribe to In the News This Week, the Have I Got News For You podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com. Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.